Amen. Someone shout. There we go. If it makes you want to shout, then we should hear some shouting in the house. Amen. 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 Well, let's get right into our adult Bible lesson today. You may be seated. Amen. The Word of God makes me want to shout. Amen. Amen. Oh, some folks. There we go. Thank you, sir. Amen. Amen. We're in the midst of a series entitled, You Must Be Born Again. Last week, we were introduced to a man named Bill Drost. He was after his salvation experience with God, he became a missionary in the 60s, I believe it was, around that time. And the following account, we're going to talk about his life again, is summarized from a book about his life. This is a summary. There was little at Boca del Monte, the mouth of the mountain, other than an isolated wooden inn marking the beginning of the journey into the high country of Colombia, South America. Eucharis, a woman who was the first person to take the gospel to the mountain people, shepherded Bill Drost to a rope bridge spanning a river about 100 yards wide. A mule awaited Bill on the other side for his ride to the top of the mountain. The ascent was sometimes the width of a man, sometimes a precipice plunged far to the valley below. The trek took most of the day, and after reaching his destination about 7 p.m., Bill lay exhausted on a bag of coffee. In about 30 minutes, more than 200 people had gathered to hear him speak. Prayer continued until midnight, and Bill told those who wanted to be baptized to wait a day or two so he could explain the scriptures concerning baptism. Early the next morning, a man named Julio came up to Bill as he was shaving. "I want to be baptized, but I'm not sure I can be," he said. "Why not?" asked Bill. "You see, I have three wives. I don't know which to leave and which to take. It seems to me I will have to make a decision." Bill didn't know what to tell the man, so he said, "Wait until tomorrow and I'll let you know." After that night's service, Bill took his flashlight and Bible and went into the coffee bushes. Kneeling down, he placed his Bible before him and prayed, "God, there's something in your word that will settle this. I know. I don't know what it is. You'll have to help me." Bill laid his Bible down, let his Bible lay open, and his eyes lighted upon words from Revelation, "First love." Bill thought, "This can't be for this fellow. This is talking to the church." After turning off his flashlight and waiting in the darkness, Bill said, "Lord, reveal to me what you want." Again, Bill let the Bible fall open once more. First love was before his eyes. "Lord, I don't know, but this is what you have given me, so I will tell the man." Julio was waiting for Bill when he went to shave at 6:30 a.m. "What is the answer?" "I'm sorry," Bill apologized, "but I can't get anything, only these two words, first love." "That's it," Julio exclaimed. "What?" Bill asked, intrigued. "I'm so glad the Lord has shown you, because the first wife was the one I loved, but she has left me. I must go and get her if I can and try to bring her back so that we can live a Christian life." Amen. The first love. Last week we learned how God had a plan for salvation after Adam and Eve allowed sin into the world, and this is part of the plan. We're going to be talking about the call to repentance this morning, the call to repentance. In the Old Testament, there were prophecies about God's plan for salvation. Jesus even remarks in Luke 24, verse 44, "All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophecy and in the Psalms concerning me." Everything has to be fulfilled. Everything has to come to pass. One of these prophecies was found in Isaiah that came to fruition through the life of John the Baptist. It was one of the first prophecies fulfilled in the New Testament. Matthew 3:3 says it like this in regards to John: "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John was that voice crying in the wilderness. His first recorded words were one scripture earlier in Matthew 3, verse 2. It says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The message of repentance was John's mission. And that is reiterated throughout the Gospels. In Luke 3, verse 3, for example, it says, "He came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." In the book of Mark, the same connection is made between John the Baptist and Isaiah's prophecy about there would be one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way," or "Repent." So each Gospel writer, besides John himself, so Matthew, Mark, and Luke, share with us the mission of John, which was repentance. What is repentance? Maybe a common idea that is thrown around. We talk about it a lot, but what is it? It's good to rehash these things and re-look at these things in our own lives as we apply it to our lives. Language is very interesting. There are words in other languages that can't be directly and clearly translated into one English word without the context. My favorite Greek word growing up, and I still use this today. I was actually talking to Pastor Seidel about this the other day. It's a word, it's phasaria, F-A-S-S-A-R-I-A, phasaria. And there is no one English word that can describe what phasaria is. It's essentially when there's chaos, there's madness, there's things are crazy, things are weird. It's like you're stepping back like, this is just phasaria. It's like family Christmas, and you know, and someone's yelling at, you know, you forgot to bring the rolls, and like, well, man, we said we were going to open presents at this time, and I want to open presents this time, and you know, it's just that chaos, and you're like, I just want to sit back like, this is fasaria. So great word to use. No one will know what you're saying, talking about, but that I use that all the time. Like, this is just, I just shake my head. And so there's no, it combines so many different concepts in the English language. So there's no true word that fasaria translates to. And that is the case in many different languages. And we oftentimes, when reading the Bible, have to do the same and take the context of how the word is being used or how the word would have been understood by those who used it. There's a excerpt from Lou Nida's Greek-English Lexicon of the New Testament, basically something that studied a book that dives into the meaning of words. I want to read from that book. The original Greek word metanoeo, which is translated to repentance in the King James Version. It's talking about that word. In English, a focal component of the word repent is the sorrow or contrition that a person experiences because of sin. And so we often emphasize how we feel sorrowful for what we've done, and that's repentance. However, the emphasis in the Greek text seems to be more specific. The total change, both in thought and behavior, with respect to how one should both think and act. Whether the focus is upon attitude or behavior does vary somewhat in different contexts. So repentance is not feeling sorry for one's actions. It's a complete change. It's about changing one's way of life and as the result of a complete change of thought and attitude with regard to sin and righteousness. We are sorry. We don't want to sin anymore, so we take action and make changes in our lives. It's not, God, I'm sorry for drinking, you know, and Lord, tonight when I go to the bar with my buddies, help me, Lord, just to order water and just hang out with my buddies there, but, you know, help me not to touch the stuff that's going to be right there. No, repentance probably would lead, like, God, man, I did it again. I drank too much. I went to the bar, so God, tonight, help me make a different choice, a different venue. And you know what? Maybe you're at the place that these friends, you may not see them as a bad influence. So it's like, Lord, maybe I can invite them to my house and we can hang out and barbecue or something. And so you change your actions, not just, God, help me and take away this as I'm putting myself back in the same mode and the same areas of influence, same areas of temptation. I believe last time I preached on a Wednesday night, talked about Pastor Thomas. He was our assistant pastor here at Calvary Gospel several years ago. It's not years and years ago. Anyways, but I love the story that's told of him when he first came into the church. He was just got the Holy Ghost, was baptized. He repented, got the Holy Ghost baptized, and he was just on fire for God, so excited about what God had done. And he went to his weekly poker night with his buddies. And he was just raking it in that night. And I believe it was told that he was like, thank God, you know, and just like, you know, just praise God as he wins hand after hand. And finally his buddies are like, Rich, what are you talking about? Like, what are you saying? Praise God. He's like, guys, friends, comrades, I got the Holy Ghost. I was baptized, and, you know, tells his testimony about what God did for him. And he's like, and you could see it tonight. God's just blessing me. And the one guy turned to him and said, Rich, Christians don't gamble. He's like, they don't? And he immediately walked away and never gambled again because he didn't know. But the repentance then, like, oh, that's the lifestyle change. I've been doing this the whole month. I'm going to change my lifestyle. I'm gonna change those things. And so each one of us faces, as we face the call to repentance, God may ask from each of us to make a different action because we are involved in different lifestyles or ways of thinking than each other based on what we grew up, exposure that we had, and different things. There was a video, and I'm not going to play it, but the testimony was he was a DJ for a rock station, and he got the Holy Ghost and still was DJing and finally God began to convict him, and he had t-shirts from all the concerts that he had gone to, and that was the first step that he's like, I have to get rid of these t-shirts of all the classic rock. We call it classic and ancient, but in the day it was, you know, and not that long ago, and he had to give those up. And then he had accumulated thousands of CDs of all these artists that he'd gotten free through the years. And that was the next thing that God began to deal with him. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to live this life. He's like, okay, I have to give this up. And so that was because that was his job. And so what repentance looks like for you, yes, we're all repenting in the same way. We're turning away from sin, turning away from the things that are not according to Scripture. But it might have an action or a step to take that looks differently than for you than it does for me. Amen. So Isaiah's prophecy was that John the Baptist would point the way specifically to Jesus. John himself told those who were coming out to hear him and be baptized under repentance that he was the one pointing to Jesus. He made it known that Jesus was superior to him. Mark 1:7 says, there cometh one mightier than I after me, that the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I'm not even worthy to take off his shoes. John knew that Jesus was the promised Messiah, who would take away the sins of the world and baptize those who believed on him with the Holy Ghost. And so just as John pointed the way to Jesus, John's message, the call to repentance, is about preparing the way for the Lord in our lives. The first step, the necessary step we all must take right away is that we repent. We are called to be baptized, but the legitimacy of baptism has always depended upon the faith that precedes baptism. And so if we're not willing to make a separate thing, you know, we've had people baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost hundreds over the past years, but where are they? What was it? A decision that was made based on, okay, I see Scripture, because we're purposeful to walk people through, here's what baptism is about, sweet, I want my sins washed away. And so they get baptized, but they never repented. Could it be? I don't know. We don't know, but is that the reason? Or was it like the seed that's thrown out and something came and plucked it out and in their heart, or the cares of riches and lifestyle, and they didn't want to eventually turn over to God? We don't know, but sometimes we focus so much on the baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost that we gloss over the repentance part. John pointed toward the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost would be poured out. Mark 1:8, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. There's a call to repentance because of its vital importance and the groundwork it lays in someone's life for God to wash away their sins in baptism, be filled with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We get excited when someone gets baptized or is filled with the Holy Ghost. We track those numbers here locally, but also our organization, and those are the numbers we track. Heaven's rejoicing today. We say that, but when does heaven rejoice? Luke 15:7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that gets baptized, gets the Holy Ghost. No, repenteth. If we truly repent and say, I've been living this way, but forgive me, God, for my actions, clean me out, I'll live the way you want me to live with true repentance, everything else falls in line. Because it's like, I'm going toward you, God. And then if we're sincere and we start to study Scripture, then, oh, I need to be baptized so all my sins that I've repented of can be washed away. Oh, God wants to live in my heart, and boom, 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 and we just begin. That's why, like, don't worry about, for those who are not guests this morning, don't worry about what people are wearing or not, because if they are truly focused on God and loving God, that will fall in line, because they will say, I want to do whatever God, well, you need to change your gambling habit. You don't need to tell them. Their gambling buddies will tell them that. Yeah, right? And so we focus, we get excited about those numbers. We may not keep those statistics, but repentance is when heaven is rejoicing. Repentance is when heaven is rejoicing. And for those who pray with folks at the altar, don't be, just a quick tip, don't be in such a rush to get someone filled with the Holy Ghost and in the tank when they need to empty themselves out before the Lord. I would much rather someone have a 15-minute, like life-altering experience with the God without getting the Holy Ghost and then walk out the door than them just come up here and we just slam them and bam them and we prayed them through and we get in the tank because that's what you're supposed to do. And they all go, oh! And they walk away like, what happened? Let's let them turn their lives over to God. It'll come. It'll come and then we'll get to report the number next week. You know? Let's be a sensitive to the power of repentance, not only in our lives, but in the lives of our guests. And if you're a guest this morning, God has something for you. And if you're feeling, I believe that you're going to feel the need to repent. And I encourage you to stay over till our 11 a.m. service and get hold of God today and give your life to God. Commit it to God. Amen. The message of repentance is introductory after believing on Jesus for entering into God's kingdom. In other words, sorry for sins alone does not open the door to God's kingdom. Repentance is required, but it must be repentance that comes because of hearing and believing the entire gospel message. Acts 2:37-38, very familiar passage to most of us. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Man, we recognize the error of our ways. We recognize the lacking in our lives. What do we do? Peter gets up and says, repent. Right away, repent. And yes, then be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Because when you repent and he forgives you, now we need to wash them away. And you know what? Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The next couple Sundays, we'll be talking in our Bible lesson about baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So you don't want to miss it. Be here the next two Sundays. And this is all, I think it's really cool, leading up to June 5th, Pentecost Sunday. Amen. But after we believe in Jesus, repentance is the first step. There is a call to repentance. Matthew 4:17 tells us that Jesus also preached repentance. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As we look in Scripture, we see that God, or that Jesus didn't preach to those who thought they were righteous. He went to the sinners. Those who needed to repent, the religious leaders who didn't believe in Jesus, they complained about that. Luke 15:2, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They were shocked. He's having dinners with sinners. Sounds like a great name for an outreach. Come on, dinners with sinners. If you're a sinner, come have dinner. Where's Pastor Jerry? That's a great one. All right. Put that in the notes for pastoral team meeting. I'm a sinner. Yeah, like someone's going to identify. Anyways, sorry. But you see, Jesus' behavior that offended the Pharisees and scribes was the very purpose for which he came. Jesus responded to them with the parable of the lost sheep. In this parable, the 99 just persons, the sheep that weren't lost, those who thought themselves to have no need for repentance, these represented the Pharisees and scribes. The one lost sheep was the repentant sinner. That's the one who wandered away. Another time there were complaints was in Luke 5, verse 30-32. It says, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The call to repentance was the mission of Jesus as well. Just like John the Baptist gave a call to repentance and Jesus gave a call to repentance, today there is still a call to repentance. Repentance is not a suggestion. It is God's universal command. When Paul visited Athens, noting the pervasive idolatry, he declared that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And that's Acts 17, verse 30. Amen. Why does God call everyone to repentance? Why does he call me? Why does he call you? Verse 31 of Acts 17 tells us, it's because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. The actions of one man, Adam, we talked about this last week, condemned the world. We're condemned to die because of sin, but God had a plan. He robed himself in flesh, came to this earth, died for our sins, and so we identify with Jesus when we die to ourselves through repentance. Amen. Which, and that prepares the way of the Lord, and then we identify with his burial when we are baptized and buried in baptism, and all our sins are washed away. We identify with his resurrection when we rise up with new life, when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That the scripture, he will judge the world, doesn't frighten us because we're following his plan. He had a plan for salvation, for us to make heaven our home. And so the ability to repent and have the result of God forgiving us our sins when we do, repent is truly a gift. It's truly a gift. When we obey this universal command and experience baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, we have the promise of forgiveness and of the additional gift of the Holy Spirit. There is a call to repentance. Doesn't matter what the situation, he will forgive you. You will forgive me. And this is, you know, we're focusing on the beginning aspects of someone coming to Christ, but this is a daily thing that if you have been in church any length of time, it should be a daily thing where, God, if I've had any attitude, maybe you can't identify something. Pray the prayer. God, is there something within me that is not of you? Show me. But in the meantime, God, forgive me of just, you know, being me, because, you know, there might be something there. Repentance is so vital for our relationship. Why? Because it paves the path. It makes way for the Lord to work in our lives. If we're involved in something, we have a wrong thought or attitude, or we're having involved in behavior that's wrong, you know what that sin does? It separates us from God. And so he can't work. He says, okay, you know, you don't want me, you're doing your own thing. I'm a gentleman. Sister Vernon says, I'm a perfect gentleman. I'm just, do your thing. But it's when we empty ourselves out and say, God, I want to do what you want. Lead me. And then he's like, okay, all right. This, and this. Oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. Here's some things to change. Here's a next layer of the onion in your life that you've peeled off one, but it's the, God, this is the same thing as, yeah, but it's a little deeper now. Because you couldn't handle the fullness of your behavior and your attitude before, but I just did the surface. Now you want more? Okay, here's another level. Why? Because we want to get closer. Repentance prepares the way. Prepares the way for the Lord. That was the coolest thought when I was studying this, that I hadn't necessarily thought just that way, that it really sets the stage for God to move in our lives. We want to hear from the Word of God as we're reading. Repent. Empty ourselves out and just say, God, I don't want to have any preconceived ideas. Show me truth in your Word. And he will. It prepares the way. So whether you're a first-time guest, I encourage you to repent. Whether you've been in this for years, and I'm so thankful for our elders. Sister Manley, it's good to see you. I'm thankful for you. And even for you, Sister Manley, repentance is vital. And she'd say, absolutely. Duh. You know, I'm sure she would. Amen. So I'm thankful for repentance. We continue on with the story of Bill Drost, and man, I am zipping through, so we're going to have some good fellowship time here in a second, which is great, amen. Or you can just come repent right now and get prepare the way for 11 o'clock, amen. It was at least 1 hour's walk from the location of Bill Drost's meeting to a place suitable for baptizing. As he lay on his coffee bag, Bill had a vision. He saw a white horse. Beside it, a short, round man with a red face, and in front of the man, a pool with ducks swimming on it. When Bill told the people the dream, one person said, oh, we know who that is. That is the man we all work for, Señor Fandino. But what about this pool of water? Bill asked. He has a pool. They said, but be warned, he is not in favor of the gospel. Never mind, Bill answered. Tell me where he lives. About a 5-minute walk from here, they replied. So Bill sent a young man to tell Signor Fandino he wished to speak to him. Soon Bill was standing before the man he had seen in the vision. Signor Fandino knew of Bill. May we use your pool to baptize some people, Signor Fandino? Bill asked politely. Why do you want to baptize them? Fandino asked. Were they not all baptized when they were children? No, this is a baptism unto repentance, exclaimed Bill. Now, if you don't understand, sir, and you can wait, Signor Fandino cut in. Oh, no, I'm leaving now. You wait, Bill encouraged him. I can hear them coming now. With that, almost 100 people came down the mountain path and stood around the pool waiting for baptism. Excusing himself, Bill got into the water and began telling them just why they were being baptized. After a short time, Signor Fandino shouted in English, "Wait, mister," he continued, "can I be baptized?" "If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have repented, you sure can be baptized," replied Bill. With that, Signor Fandino ran into the house, returning in his pajamas, ready for baptism. What a sight. You know, probably Spider-Man jammies, you know. Bill baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Signor Fandino came out of the water, baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. In fact, he was so filled with the Spirit that for 4 or 5 days he could hardly speak a word in Spanish. He just worshiped and worshiped and worshiped. Again, the power of repentance paving the way of God's work in our lives. God calls everyone, everywhere to repent. And when we repent from a sincere and humble heart, the Lord promises to forgive and fill us with his Spirit. All around the world, the power of repentance is being experienced, and the Holy Ghost is being poured out upon all those who call on his name. And you know, sometimes as we reach out into the community, we sometimes think, well, this individual would never turn their life to God. They may even tell you, "I'll never do that." Now, how many stories have we heard where people have said that, and they came into the power of God, and they realize that's what they were looking for? We've got a lot of lifestyles out there, and agendas and cultures that are culture that is trying to just change how we think, and change how what is acceptable and what is normal. And you know what? It goes against Scripture. What's the word? The phrase diametrically opposes Scripture. And sometimes I'd be like, I don't know if they would ever change. That, the power of God. There's a call to repentance in their life. They just don't know that what they're looking for. The emptiness or the loneliness or the insecurities or the trauma, the pain that they're in, that they're trying to fill with, well, I'll try this lifestyle and this thing and this thing. Well, you know what? What they're really looking for is Jesus in their lives. Sometimes we look at folks from other religions like, well, they'll never believe on Jesus because they're so steadfast in their worship of this God or whatever. And we just got to trust God's going to do the work. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. If we are repentant in our lives and we're just emptying ourselves and allowing God to work through us, he'll give us the words to say. He'll give us the opportunity to tell our testimony. We don't need to tell. They can't argue with what God has done in your life. So don't tell them what they need to do. Just tell them what God's done. You know what? I was facing some loneliness and pain, and man, I went to an altar and prayed, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I've never been the same, and I still have struggles, but God is so good. And you just tell them that's what a testimony is. It's telling them what God has done for you. You know, and yeah, I was sick, but I prayed and man, we got well. I had financial problems and I just started following Scripture of giving, and man, God has blessed me. Or whatever the testimony, God will open the door. If we're repenting and we're emptying ourselves of our way and our way of doing things and talking and witnessing, like this is how you do it, empty yourselves of your preconceived ideas. Amen. And get outside of yourself and your thoughts of how this is the way to do it. Empty yourselves of yourself. Even when it comes to spiritual matters, this is the way you outreach. Get rid of that. Because what if that doesn't work with someone you're trying to reach. And if we're emptying ourselves, God will say, speak softly or talk about this situation. You're like, well, I haven't talked about that for years. Tell them the story. Amen. This is not in my notes, but I feel the Lord speaking to us about repentance and about clearing ourselves of ourselves. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. Let's just talk to the Lord and ask the Lord to let this nugget, something that was said this morning, begin to just germinate and grow in our lives. And I believe in our 11 o'clock service, God's going to move in a mighty way. But let's ask the Lord, and maybe there's something right away you're like, yep, I had an attitude. Take this time while we're praying just to repent. Say, God, clear me out, because I want to hear from your word next, and I want in worship, I want to be clean. I want to be just of your mind. Let's repent. Let's talk to the Lord right now. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. It is powerful. More powerful, more sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord Jesus. It gets within us, Lord Jesus. It can wiggle its way into our hearts and minds. And I'm feeling that this morning, that God, you're working on somebody's heart. You're working on my heart, speaking to me, God. Lord, the call to repentance, the importance of clearing ourselves out, our own ways of doing things, our own preconceived ideas, the actions and the behaviors we might be involved in, Lord, you're calling us to repent, Lord Jesus, to give those to you, to ask for forgiveness, and not only that, not only feel sorrow, but to, Lord Jesus, change our behavior as well. God, I pray as we go into our 11 o'clock service that God, Lord Jesus, empty us out, God, empty us out so that as a ward, God, we worship as a corporate body, that, Lord, we can feel your presence, God, and we can get lost in your presence, and you can begin to work on us, God. We can begin to see, Lord Jesus, chains broken, Lord God. Lord God, and Lord Jesus, guests that will be here, they'll feel your presence, God. But also that, Lord, as the preaching of your word goes forth, God, that, Lord God, will be, Lord, stirred and molded and shaken, Lord Jesus, in this house, God. I feel your spirit, God. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for repentance, God. Forgive us today, God. Forgive me, Lord God, of any attitude, of any mindset, God, of any, Lord Jesus, God, stubbornness, God, of any, Lord Jesus, unwillingness to move and change, God, forgive me, God, because I want to be, Lord, make heaven my home. I want to make the way for you to work in my life, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap of praise, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Well, is that 8 minutes to 45? I can't see. Whatever time we have till 10:45, please don't go and overwhelm them at checkout, parents, because your kids will not be ready. You'll be frustrated in line. So just wait, greet somebody, hang out for 6 minutes, then go get your kids. Don't forget them. We can't take them yet. We don't have any adoption people set up yet. But greet somebody, take some time. We're going to be going into the Word of the Lord and worship at 11 o'clock. And we invite you to stick around, meet someone, greet someone. If you see someone you don't know, shake their hand, go tell them how much you love them. Amen.